Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such
a group. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Mr. Ron Kelly's show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and, of course, on the AMFM Broadcasting Network. Just a pleasure to have you all back here this afternoon, April 25th, 2017. Just a dreary, dreary day here in the New York metropolitan area. This is another one of those rainy days, but you know what? We'll see what we can do about making your day just a little bit brighter with some info. Right here on the Ron Kelly show. All right, everybody, good to have you back. The phone number here, in case you want to call up, is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Once again, welcome, everybody. Glad to have you back. It's the Ron Kelly show every Tuesday afternoon, 3 p.m. drive time, or just the beginning of drive time, right here on Blog Talk Radio when it's on the AMFM Broadcasting Network. Oh, man. You know, I was watching. Well, first of all, I need to say, condolences to the family, Queens Village, right around here locally in the New York City metropolitan area. Family of five killed in a fire. The oldest, matter of fact, the age ranges from infant to, I think, 20 years old. So I just wanted to give condolences to the family. It was such a tragedy. And, God condolences to them. So, man, you know, I just rolled in here and, you know, and I only had like a couple of seconds to get myself prepared here. Traffic and whatever else is going on out there. You know, New Jersey is the absolute worst in regards to traffic. But I'm here and we're going to make it good for you here on a Tuesday afternoon, April 25th, 2017. Okay, so the Trump tax cuts. Yeah, you just can't make this stuff up. You know, the contradictions just keep on going. Now, President Trump, and I still have a problem saying that almost 100 days later, but President Trump has instructed his advisors to make the 15% corporate tax rate a centerpiece of his tax cut blueprint that's going to be unveiled later this week. Now, It's first of all, it's not even possible. You know what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen, this is not even possible. See, the contradictions just keep on coming. And see, this is what happens when you put a billionaire in office. See, all those Trump supporters who thought that, okay, he's a billionaire and, you know, he's going to help us out and he's going to make things better for us. No. So Donald Trump, President Trump, is going to make things easier for rich people like himself. So you're going to his the centerpiece of his tax cut blueprint is to cut 20%, more than half, slashing the corporate tax rate to 15% from the current 35% level. Now, this is another, you know, see, this is another trickonomics. That's what I call it. You know, Reaganomics, they called it at the time that President Ronald Reagan was in office, who I liked. I admired former President Reagan, by the way. And this is all part of the same nonsense that Ronald Reagan tried with the trickle-down economics. So the whole idea was to save corporations money and they would hire more people. It doesn't happen. It does not happen. Now, what does happen is that these people who save all this money, what they wind up doing is they save the money. They're like, hey, why do I have to, you know, I'm saving a bundle, 20% tax cut, I'm going to save a bundle. So why do I have to hire anybody? So the trickle-down economics doesn't work. And Reagan tried it. George Bush also tried it. You know, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So here comes President Trump, who's going to try it again. And now, who do you think, where do you think the cuts are going to go? See, because if you take it in less revenue, you got to make cuts somewhere else. If you're going to cut the corporate tax rate to 15%, a 20% drop, more than half, then you got to make the cuts somewhere else. So guess where those cuts are going to be? They're going to be in the entitlement program. So that means that all, you know, program, your senior citizen programs and these things are going to be cut. Because Trump has already made his intentions clear by boosting the defense spending by $55 billion. So he's already made his intentions clear that he's going to take that money from the entitlement programs. That's exactly what's going to happen. Now, the president's going to unveil a tax cut this week. And now we already, not even 100 days in, and we already have a threat of a government shutdown. Not even 100 days in. Now, the White House is going to roll this thing out on Wednesday, which is going to end. The speculation has been running wild about the president's intentions for rewriting the tax code and following a prolonged period of confusion in which he and his top advisors sent mixed messages to what they favored and how the tax code will be structured. Now, you see, if it was so much about the people, oh, the people are the most important things, I'm going to put Americans first, American jobs, American works are going to be first. So if that's the case, then why is the tax cut, the corporate tax cut, the centerpiece of the tax plan, of his tax plan? Why would that be the centerpiece? Why haven't we heard anything about tax cuts for the middle class? We hadn't heard anything. But the first thing he comes out and says that he wants to cut the corporate tax rate. And guess who that's going to affect? And guess who? And see, the thing about this is that Trump is going to benefit from this corporate tax rate. So because he himself will have to pay less money in taxes. And we already know that, well, actually, we don't know what Trump's association is with his businesses. We don't know. We have no idea what his association is with his businesses. So we got a lot to get to, and it's not all going to be all about Trump. There's a lot we got to get to. We'll talk about a few other things, mostly Trump, but we'll talk about some of the other things going on. And also, what we will do is we'll talk. But first of all, we'll talk about the tax cuts, because I haven't heard anything about that. We'll get into that more in depth here on the show, on the Ron Kelly Show today. And we will also talk about Sean Hannity. Is it the good old boys club over there? Is it part of the corporate strategy to be sexual predators? Who's next? So we'll get to that as well. Bill O'Reilly had his podcast on last night, and he talked about not being on television. Well, you know, I'll have the sound bites for that after the break. We'll have the sound bites. Bill O'Reilly coming back. Now on a podcast. We'll have that as well. And we got a whole lot of other stuff going on too. Okay, so I'm a little behind the eight ball here, ladies and gentlemen. Please, please bear with me. I'm a little bit behind the eight ball here. And We'll talk about this and a whole lot of other things right here on the Ron Kelly Show. So here's Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly announces the return of his podcast 2 days ago.
The announcement comes just days after O'Reilly was outed from Fox News in a $25 million exit deal. Bill O'Reilly is making a comeback on Monday with the return of his No Spin News podcast. The former anchor for Fox News announced on his website on Saturday that the first episode will air on Monday, April 24th, exclusive to his subscribers. O'Reilly will be paid as much as $25 million, equivalent to 1 year's salary, and called the exit tremendously disheartening in a statement.
So $25 million, this is what he's going to get. This is what Bill O'Reilly's going to get. 1 year's salary, $25 million. And Bill O'Reilly was easily the biggest draw on cable, period. He was the biggest draw. And now he's out. You see, and as I said earlier, matter of fact, I posted it on Twitter, I believe it was. My Twitter is Ron Kelly, R. Kelly Radio. That's my Twitter, R. Kelly Radio. I changed it. So check it out. It's R. Kelly Radio on my Twitter. Now, this is just, we'll get, to, you know, I'm going to take a quick break and gather myself here. We'll get it together. I just walked into the studio almost at the stroke of three, so I'm a little bit behind the eight ball here. But let me take a quick break, do a couple of things, and we'll come back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show. Yeah, yeah. The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
I love golf, and I have some of the greatest golf courses in the world. I own Doral. I own some of the great, one of Turnberry in Scotland would have the British Open. Some of the greatest British Opens in the history of golf. I mean, some of the great Jack Nicklaus against Tom Watson. They say the Duel in the Sun, right, folks? The Duel in the Sun, the greatest tournament ever played was at Turnberry. The Duel in the Sun, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson. So I have the greatest stuff. But you know what? And I love golf. But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave? Who's going to leave?
Oh, man, you know, that's like the soundbite of the year right there. And just the contradictions just keep on coming. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's about 15 minutes past the hour. The phone number is 646-668-2838. Holler at me on Facebook is The Ron Kelly Show, and on Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio on Twitter. I have to keep remembering that, R. Kelly Radio. And, of course, on Instagram is Radio Man, too. Okay, back to the program, everybody. And earlier, I was talking about the Trump tax cuts. Oh, man. You know, I would love to hear from a Trump supporter right now, one who's willing to tell the truth. I would love to hear from a Trump supporter right now, because you have to be, you know how you go out and buy something and you start thinking about it, you get that buyer's remorse, like, and you know what, you get it home and you start thinking, like, you know what, I shouldn't have bought it. And I, you know, and I'm truly under the impression that people who voted for Trump are now questioning their decision. They're questioning their decision to have voted in Donald Trump. You see, because all the things that, you know, I can understand to a degree that people were just tired of Washington. Hell, I was just tired of Washington. You know? And it's not just Washington. It's all across the country. It's, you know, it's local, city, state, federal politics. It's all the same. You toe the party line. And I know some people, assembly persons and council people and such, who have to toe the line. Even if they don't believe in what's being said, they have to toe the line, because you're beholden to the county chairperson, who the person is, the Republican chair or the Democratic chair. You're beholden to that person because, hey, you know what? You can't run without the party support. You can't run without, you know, on the party line, because the party has the money. You see, so I can understand that people were just through with politics. I understand that. You see, but being the president is about politics. You can't be a president and not be political. I mean, look what's happened to Donald Trump. Look what has happened. He's had to reverse course on many of the things that he ran on. Talk about the wall, building the wall, 3 months in. You know, these are the things that he said that he would do from day one. Obamacare, he would do from day one. He found out, and he even admitted himself to, hey, you know, I didn't know this was going to be this hard. I didn't know that healthcare was so complicated. And on and on and on. So these are the things that he's reversed course on, many of the things that he said. And but somehow or another, he still has like 97% support. Now, are these people, do these people just not want to admit that they made a mistake? Or do they really support the president? Is this what's going on? Because it's just so, you know, I can't see anybody who's supported the president being happy, especially those who are looking for tax breaks. Because I said before the break, in the beginning of the program, that the centerpiece of his tax reform bill is a corporate tax cut, not a middle-class tax cut, a corporate tax cut. So you can see right there where his allegiances are. Now, Trump is rich. We don't know how rich he is. And he has a lot of rich friends. And there's a lot of rich folk around, you know, America who are celebrating this president. I mean, to cut the corporate tax rate in half. Now, let's see what's going to happen with the middle class. Will we get a tax break? Will we get our taxes cut in half? No. No, it's the same old failed trickle-down economics. Reagan tried it. It didn't work. Bush tried it. We went into a recession with the Bush tax cuts. And now here comes Donald Trump trying to do the same thing. And it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And those of you who you know, it's simple arithmetic, everybody. It's simple arithmetic. If you take from one place, if you give one place, you have to take from someplace else. That's the bottom line. Those of us who sit at the table and write checks and we figure out how much we have and how much we have to spend and what's important, what's not, those of us who sit at the kitchen table, and have to go through this. But they're doing it on a bigger scale. Now, Trump, with a 20% tax cut, corporate, a 20% corporate tax cut, that's billions and billions, if not trillions of dollars. So you have to plug that hole. Now, that's money you're going to give back to the corporations, and so they're going to have that money. So now, when you give a tax cut, now how are you going to balance your budget? What are you going to balance your budget on? And see, this is what the people who supported Trump don't quite understand. Where does that money come from? It comes from entitlements. That's exactly where it's going to come from. Because the whole conservative Republican credo is for everybody to be on their own. This is what they preach. Smaller government. What do you think that means? Smaller government, just the essentials. Legislative, judicial, executive. Let's pay for only the stuff that we need. So what's going to happen is that poor people are going to be hurt, decimated by this tax cut. They're going to be decimated. Now, Robert N. Williams, who's a fellow with the Tax Policy Center, analyzed Trump's campaign tax plan. And he said that the high cost would make it more difficult to push through Congress. He says it's very expensive, and that's a problem. It's a real heavy lift to get the revenue necessary to pay for these things. Exactly. Now, Mr. Williams said the president's recent emphasis on tax cuts suggested he was prepared to lose revenue and hope that economic growth will make a difference. But the budget hawks in Congress are going to put a stop to that. So this is going to be a problem. This tax cut is going to be a problem. And it's going to be a problem for poor people. Now, while the rich will save 20%, 20%, can you imagine? I wish I could save 20%. Maybe I'll get a check for a change, which I haven't gotten 7 to 10 years. This is going to be very, very difficult, if not impossible, and rightfully so. Because you can't cut 20% off the corporate tax rate and keep your fingers crossed that everything's going to be okay. You can't do it. So anyway, it's 24 minutes past the hour, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. If you don't know what you're listening to, it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network. Got a lot to get to. Ivanka Trump does not know what her job description is. See, this is, you know, this is the ridiculousness of the Trump administration. This is the ridiculousness. Now, I apologize. I don't have the sound bites that I wanted to have here. I'm going to have to wing it. Blame me for that. But Ivanka Trump is at a women's conference overseas, and she didn't know what to say when she was asked what her job is. She doesn't know. Now, she's supposed to be a White House. She's supposed to be an advisor to the president. But what is her job? What is her position? Now, it hasn't even been a month, and she's at the W20 summit in Germany. Now, she's a special assistant to the president, allegedly. And she was personally invited to attend a panel on women's entrepreneurship by Angela Merkel. However, when she got there, people booed about her. When she spoke about, here it is, she was asked about her father's commitment to women's issues. Now, we all know about the grabbing of the crotch incident that that Trump talked about on that interview, on an entertainment show. Now, she says she's very proud of her father's advocacy. Long before he came into the presidency, he championed this in the primaries. He's been a tremendous champion of supporting families and enabled them to thrive. She said, as the crowd turned negative. Now, what she went on to say, I've certainly heard the criticism from the media, and that's been perpetuated. But no person is claiming the thousands of men who have worked with and for my father for decades when he was in the private sector. He hasn't left the private sector. Are a testament to his belief and solid conviction and the potential of women and their ability to do the job as well as any man. She handled it well. She handled it very well. But what is her job? What is she supposed to be doing? She's got three kids. Now, her brother Eric says that she had a hand in the president's decision to authorize a missile attack on Syria, despite having no military experience herself. She has no experience. How did she have a hand to authorize the missile attack in Syria? How did she get a hand in that? She has no military experience herself. I mean, you're letting your daughter? Oh, God. This is ridiculous. A little later on in the program, we're going to talk about Arkansas. Arkansas and the kill-a-thon going down in Arkansas. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. And President Obama makes an appearance in Chicago. We'll talk about that as well when we come back from break. But the president makes a speech in Chicago and does not mention Trump at all. So we'll talk about that as well. So we got a lot going on here. We'll come take a break and we'll come right back with more of the program. This is Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barraza, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC. Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com and on the AMFM Broadcasting Network. Halfway through the program, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me this afternoon on a dreary, just an absolutely dreary day on a Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. Watched yesterday a piece of a Wolf Blitzer show on the afternoon CNN. So former Senator Sam Nunn was on Wolf, and he just was so startlingly smart in what he said. And God, I just don't have the soundbite. Do that and get home in time. But in any case, so what happened was former Senator Sam Nunn from Georgia was on Wolf's program. It's called Wolf on CNN in the afternoon. And Wolf Blitzer asked him about, he asked Senator Nunn, what should America do about Korea? Well, I wish I can pull this up here. Okay, here it is. Okay, now I just got to get it. Yeah, so, all right, so, now Sam Nunn says he thinks that all options ought to be on the table and military options as well. But he also thinks that the diplomatic options should be on the table too. He says that's where we do not seem to have a strategy at this point in time. Now, he agrees with the emphasis that the president is putting on the UN and the potential of the UN, even though the UN is often short of its goals. But one thing we haven't really focused on in the last two administrations, he says, is UN Resolution 2270, which gives a mandate to all countries to search every vessel and every plane coming in and out of North Korea to make sure there are no illicit goods. Now, that's something that hasn't been done in the last two administrations. Bush, too, didn't do it, and Obama didn't really do it either. This is an area that China voted for in the UN Security Council. So he says it's an area where we can really work together. It's an area where the United States can strengthen our allies in Southeast Asia in terms of their capacity to search these ships and so forth. So it's a very powerful tool that has been approved by the United Nations Security Council, which really hasn't been done. Now, and he also went on to say that the United States, one thing we ought to do on the diplomatic side is we should have informal bilateral talks with North Korea, which I am definitely for. The number one reason is to prevent some kind of miscalculation that could lead to absolute catastrophe. Mistakes can be made, so I think that informal dialogue would be in and of itself a good thing. Now, Wolf Blitzer went on to ask him about the did he want direct negotiations? And he said, no, dialogue. And I agree with that. I agree with Senator Nunn that there should be some kind of dialogue because this could be a disaster. The reverberations, the repercussions of a strike on North Korea could last for years, long after Trump is dead. This could last for years. Because I talked about it a little bit in the program last week about, you know, what's exactly going to happen if Trump goes into North Korea. Now, all these Trump warmongers, as I call them, not all of them, but there are a lot of them who are, you know, you want to be Billy Badass and, you know, people who are sticking their chests out. But this is isn't gonna be like Iraq or Libya where we just roll over them. No, it's not gonna happen. Because you don't have the element of surprise. So if you're gonna strike somebody, you need the element of surprise. And North Korea will know we're coming long before we get there. We have 30,000 troops in the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. And North Korea has 1 million people in its army, 400 pieces of equipment, or thereabouts. So what do you think is going to happen? If the United States attacks North Korea, can North Korea go into South Korea? South Korea is not prepared for what will happen if North Korea goes into their country. They are just not prepared. So all those people who are chomping at the bit and warmongering need to take a step back, because this is something that can be very serious. So I agree with Senator Nunn, former Senator Sam Nunn of Georgia, who says that there should be some backdoor conversation, and there should be. Not with Tillerson would go over there or anything like that, but there's something informal. You know what I mean? Maybe even Nikki Haley or somebody who could talk to, like, your people, have your people call my people, one of those things, and have people representing Kim Jong-un talk with people representing President Trump. Because this is too serious for, you know, for playing chicken, because you're playing chicken with a lot of people's lives. So definitely we need to try to talk to these people instead of allowing us to move forward and destroy each other. We need to have talks with these people. So I definitely agree. All right, so Arkansas executes two inmates. They had a double execution. Two convicted murderers on Monday night. Now, that's the first time in 17 years that any state has executed two inmates on the same day. Arkansas is in a rush to carry out a series of capital punishments before one of its lethal injection drugs expires. Now, give me a break. Now, is that really a reason? Now, Jack H. Jones died at 7:20 local time, and Marcel Williams died at 7:33, both from the injection of a three-drug combination after a flurry of failed last-ditch appeals. Now, the executions came 4 days after the state put to death another killer, Liddell Lee. A fourth condemned man, Kenneth Williams, is scheduled to be executed on Thursday, 2 days from now. See, capital punishment, the problem I have with capital punishment is that it's absolute. There's no turning back from it. And we have heard of people who have been executed who are innocent. But you can't go back and, you know, dig that person up and say, oops, dust knocked the dirt off of them and say, oops, sorry, we didn't mean that. Once you kill a person, they're dead. That's why so many states in the United States of America have decided to abolish capital punishment in their states. Now, there are people in Arkansas who have been exonerated by the Innocence Project. That's a little piece of the protest that was going on in Arkansas just the other day. And see, most of these people are white. Most of those people are white people. They're not black. They're white people. Many of the folks who are on the days up there at the city hall. So Arkansas is in a rush to execute as many people as they can before this drug runs out. Executing two people in one night. So what happens if they're innocent? What happens if they're innocent? Yeah, Jack Howell Jones and Marcel Wayne Williams. Now, Jones was killed at 7:06, and the other one, Williams, was killed at 10:16. There's still six more people to go.
Fill up our garden, then fill up a table. Pick from
so there's still six more people to go.
For your region, 4.5-inch funny herbs and veggies, get four for just $12.
I hate when that happens. There's six more people to go with this thing. There's six more people. And Arkansas is in a rush to kill. And I've always been against death penalty. And another thing, too, you know, I spoke about this on the program last week about the justice system of the United States of America and the problems that still exist. Now, it's not perfect, and people say, oh, it's not perfect. Yeah, but people die. People have died. People have been killed by the state who are innocent. People who are innocent. You know, and one of the problems I've always had with the justice system is eyewitness testimony. Eyewitness testimony by itself should not be enough. It should not be enough to convict anybody. Simply by eyewitness testimony. What person is lying? They could be wrong. I mean, it's just so many things. And with this Arkansas executing people, one of those people could be innocent. And again, you talk to anybody in the Innocence Project, thank God for them, who have gotten people off death row, who were scheduled to be executed, but who were innocent. Absolutely innocent. So thank goodness for the people who, the Innocence Project and those folks who try to help out the people who don't have the money, to people who have been wrongly convicted and wind up on death row because they didn't have the money that they needed to get a lawyer. All right, so President Obama spoke in Chicago yesterday, and he says there's a gap between who's governing us and what we believe. Now, former President Obama made his first public remarks since leaving office, speaking to people, young people, incidentally, at the University of Chicago. Now, he encouraged these people, young people, to get involved and not to be cynical and give up on the political process, which, you know, many of us have. And Trump is in office because many people gave up on the political process. Now, he said that the negative attitudes lead to low voter rates. I mean, yeah, that's pretty obvious. And then it translates into a further gap between who's governing us and what we believe. But he didn't mention Trump specifically, taking a page out of President Bush's playbook, because President Bush refused over the 8 years that he has been out of office. He refused to criticize then President Obama. So the president comes out and he talks about Let's take a listen to President Obama in Chicago yesterday.
It's an experience that resonates with people. Our website is how we get our work out there. We spend less time related to violence. All those problems are serious, they're daunting, but they're not insoluble. What is preventing us from tackling them and making more progress really has to do with our politics and our civic life. It has to do with the fact that because of things like political gerrymandering, our parties have moved further and further apart, and it's harder and harder to find common ground. Because of money in politics, special interests dominate the debates in Washington in ways that don't match up with what the broad majority of Americans feel. Because of changes in the media, we now have a situation in which everybody's listening to people who already agree with them and are further reinforcing their own realities to the neglect of a common reality.
He makes a good point there. And he's being very careful not to mention President Trump, but he's talking about Trump. And he's talking about people living in their own reality, which is separate from the rest of the world. And many of the folks who support President Trump are living in their own reality. Now, is it wrong to support us to support President Trump? No. Because it's their right. Those people who support President Trump, it's their right to support President Trump. They have an absolute right to do that. But at what cost? And I said in the program earlier, I understand that people are tired of politics as usual. I get that. But it's still politics as usual. And many of the folks just don't understand that. It is still politics as usual. Because President Trump, as I said earlier, has had to rewind, pull back, or whatever the case may be, from everything he said he was going to do. That's a little bit more to President.
Allows us to have a healthy debate and then try to find common ground and actually move solutions forward. And so, when I said in 2004 that there were no red states or blue states, they're the United States of America, that was an aspirational comment. But I think it's, and it's one, by the way, that I still believe in the sense that when you talk to individuals one-on-one, people, there's a lot more that people have in common than divides them. But obviously it's not true when it comes to our politics and our civic life. And maybe more pernicious is the fact that people just aren't involved. They get cynical. And they give up. And as a consequence, we have some of the lowest voting rates of any advanced democracy. And low participation rates then translate into a further gap between who's governing us and what we believe. The only folks who are going to be able to solve that problem are going to be young people, the next generation. And I have been encouraged everywhere I go in the United States, but also everywhere around the world, to see how sharp and astute and tolerant and thoughtful and entrepreneurial our young people are.
That's President Obama yesterday in Chicago. The University of Chicago, actually, talking about making his first comments since leaving office. So there's a lot going on in this country right now, everybody. It's suffice it to say, there's a lot going on. And, I apologize to everybody. I'm a little bit backed up here. Like I said, I just got to the studio just before the program was going to start. So I'm a little off the wall right here. But anyway, you know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's about 10 minutes left of the program. So we got a lot going on. But I am one who has kind of given up, not completely, but I'm disheartened. Be disheartened and dismayed by what's going on in the United States of America today. We have Trump, and again, there may be a couple things that he may do well, but I'm really concerned about this tax cut, and I'm really concerned about Korea. These things are very, very vitally important to our national interests. And I'm telling you, these tax cuts, again, the money's got to come from somewhere to replace that money. And it's going to be a problem. I assure you. It's going to be a problem. So in any case, it's about 9 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. This is the Ron Kelly Show. Tweet me. Follow me on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Radio. And you can hit me up with a message on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page and also on Instagram as Radio Man 2. Right here on the Ron Kelly program. All right, so a big shout out to my buddy and down in Philly, Jay John Dye Harrell, who's working tirelessly to advance the cause of ex-convicts, returning citizens, he likes to call them, the Center for Returning Citizens. And if you're interested in something like that, you know, you can go to the website. I believe the website is the Center for Returning Citizens. So that's what they call them now, returning citizens. They don't call them necessarily ex-cons or felons or whatever the case may be. They call them returning citizens. So shout out to him and the good work he's doing down there in conjunction with the Innocence Project, which helps exonerate people who could be executed. So we got about 7 minutes left of the program. We're gonna break out of here in just a few minutes, everybody. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the program today. Those of you who did, we'll be back here next Tuesday for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show, and right here on the Block Talk Radio and on the AMF and Broadcasting Network. And there's a lot of good shows on the AMF and Broadcasting Network. I did listen to several of them. I have taken, not taken part in, but I have listened to some of the shows on the AMF and Broadcasting Network, and they're pretty good. So you do yourself a favor, and you can check out the programs, variety of stuff on the AMF and Broadcasting Network, not just on the web, but in select cities across the United States, Milwaukee, Boulder, Colorado, Pittsburgh, you get the picture. So you go on the website. I can't name them all. There's about 12 or 13 of them. I can't name them all off the top of my head, but you can go onto the website, AMFM Broadcasting Network. Just pull that up, Google it, and you can go on there and listen to the program. And then you can get a listing of the radio stations that are there. And you get, so if you're in a certain area, if you're in Boulder, Colorado, if you're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, or someplace like that, you can listen to some of the terrestrial broadcasting stations that are out there that are connected to the AMF and Broadcasting Network. So definitely do that. So yeah, so we got, again, pay attention, be aware of what's going on in our country today. Don't be oblivious, pay attention, watch the news, and be aware of what's going on, because there's a lot going on. And this, this Trump administration is only less than 100 days old. But, me personally, I wish it was over already, because, but again, I respect the office of the president, but I don't have to respect who's in that office. And, it's not looking very good right now. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but it's not looking very good. Especially with this tax cut, the centerpiece being a corporate tax cut and not a middle class tax cut. I'm extraordinarily concerned about that. The Americans who were supposed to be first are going to wind up being last once again. We're going to have the best health care ever? Really? Really?
Being an opposition party to being a proposition party and a governing party. It may take a little bit more time, but we are certainly listening, and we're going to get there. The way I would just describe the meeting we just had with our members is we are all going to work together and listen together until we get this right. It is just too important. Obamacare is a collapsing law. Obamacare is doing too much damage to families. And so we're going to get this right. And in the meantime, we're going to do all of our other work that we came here to do.
Well, I want to convey exactly what the speaker just said. We had a very good conference. A conference that, from a microcosm, people on all sides. And the discussion was exactly what the American people are talking about. We promised that we would repeal and replace Obamacare. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Friday, timeline wasn't there. The votes were not there yet. That doesn't mean that we're not going to get there. And that's what this conference was about and what we're actually working towards.
I'm here, what, 64 days? I never said repeal and replace Obamacare. You've all heard my speeches. I never said repeal it and replace it within 64 days. I have a long time.
Obamacare is going to be repealed and replaced. Obamacare. We're going to have a strong country again, and Obamacare has to go. We can't afford it. It's no good. You're going to end up with great health care for a fraction of the price, and that's going to take place immediately after we go in, okay? Immediately. Fast. Quick.
In one breath, he says he didn't say on day one. And then it's so easy to just go, and anybody can record this stuff, and go back and listen to what he actually did say. And he did say that on day one, Obamacare would be eliminated. You see, this is just part of this, the, you know, Trump, and again, it's the same way he bamboozled the bankers who backed him, when the Trump organization was falling apart, when the casinos were crumbling. He said, hey, well, I'll just file bankruptcy. You can't touch me. And you'll lose millions and millions of dollars. So either you support me and help me get back on my feet so I can pay you back, or I'll file for bankruptcy and you'll just lose everything. And the banks bought it. The banks bought it. I mean, yeah, I guess they did get their money back, or some of it, or a part of it. But see, this is what Trump does. He threatens his way around. This is what he does. You know, this is what he does. And the people who voted for him are going to are in for a rude awakening. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you are. You're in for a rude awakening. Because Donald Trump said whatever he felt like saying because he didn't think he would be elected anyway. He never thought that he would be held to the things that he... So he just said whatever he wanted to say. So he didn't think he would be held to, I'll make all of these, you know, build a wall and revoke and replace Obamacare and all of these things. He never thought he would win. He was more shocked than anybody that he did win. So he when he campaigned, he never thought that he would be held to any promise that he made. He never thought he'd be held to any promises he made. So when he campaigned, he just, you know, was kind of going through the motions. His son, Trump and his son wanted to start a TV channel. That was the whole idea. I don't know if that's why he ran, but I do understand that him and his son, Eric, were supposed to start a television cable channel. After the election was over, lo and behold, he won because Hillary Clinton blew it. So anyway, there's about 27 seconds of the program, so thank everybody for listening to the show this afternoon. Catch me back here next week at 3 o'clock for another edition of The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com and on the AM FM Broadcasting Network. Follow me on Twitter, R. Kelly Radio, and on Facebook, it's The Ron Kelly Show. All right, everybody. So until then, we'll see you back here next week. Pay attention. Watch what Trump is doing. And most importantly, be safe out there.